This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast this week, I want to continue on with this message dealing about the end of the age and this great falling away spoken of Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And to continue to remind you that the Lord says that falling away in reality really means a rejection of Him. A rejection of Jesus by a multitude who will deny Him by denying His blood sacrifice. Well, today I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to begin to look into this. Paul's description now of both last day men and teachers, giving us an example of what we can expect now to emerge here before our eyes during this great falling away. Before I begin, may I exhort you again of the need in this day and hour that we're living in, that we should really pray and we really should seek God earnestly, lest we'd be carried away in lukewarmness here and falling away at the end of the age. Are you praying? Are you seeking God? Well, be it known to you now, that's your duty and that's your responsibility to really pray and seek revival yourself. Well, turning to the Word, we're in 2 Timothy and we're in chapter 3 beginning right at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now that's what this third and fourth chapter really refers to here in Paul's writing to Timothy, warning him of the coming apostasy, the coming falling away, how he should keep his ears in tune and his eyes open and watch what would emerge. Well, we realize what was written to Timothy, the young minister, was written to all of us ministers and Christians alike. Well, we have to give ear now. He's talking about the last days, and he's talking about perilous times coming. And I just ask you to open up your eyes and your ears and take a good look at our generation and see whether or not you believe we're living in perilous times. Well, according to everything that the Master has said to us, certainly, I believe we're living in perilous times. And these perilous times are going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, if we'll consider that, surely that will help us in our basic understanding of how we ought to approach these last days as believers, how we ought to stand very firm with God, how we need to stand strongly and firmly on the Scriptures and not be moved away from the hope that's ours through faith and through faith in the Word of God. Surely we've got to stand. Now, listen to some of the things which Paul tells Timothy that men would be like here at the end of the age. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I think we have to give ear to this. This is an exhortation to Timothy that he's got to get his eyes open. He's got to watch in the midst of perilous times because this is what men would be like. Now, it doesn't sound good when you read it. And surely in reality now, it's not good. Well, let's kind of just see if we can put it together now. It said, using the word lovers, talking of what men would love. And we have three things now that we can consider. First of all, he said they were going to be lovers of their own selves in verse 2. Men being lovers of their own self. Now, a selfish kind of love. I love me and all I can do for me and all I can get for me. And selfish kind of love. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, if we think of lovers of their own selves, verse 3 said, then they would be without natural affections. You know what natural affections? My, you look at the affection there in the home. And mom and dad, they have affections for one another, a husband, a wife. And we look there at the little child, and you have an affection for that little child, a real love for that child. It's natural. I mean, it's only natural for a mother to love her daughter, her son, and cuddle them and hug them and kiss them and hang on to them, you know? Well, that little babe means everything. Well, that's natural affection. Yet he's talking about a breed of men coming forth here in the last day who would not really have natural affections. They would rather be lovers of their own self. Well, I don't like the sound of that, but then I'm reading you the Word of God, and you've got to realize God, foreknowing this, foretold what men would really be like here in the last days. Now, also, he said this, men would be lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasures. Now, along with loving their own self and love of pleasure, this is what man would be like at the end of the age. Now, we've got to realize that this is also a description here, showing us what men would turn to, what ungodly apostate leaders will be advocating here at the end of the age, and surely what man in general is going to be like. Now, lovers of pleasure. Well, we could take a good look around about us today, and boy, we do live in a pleasure-crazed society. Everything is pleasure today. And my, I mean from pleasure craft to you name it, it's just the order of the day in our society. Well, we realize God foretold it would be like this, and believe me, it's going to get much worse. Now, it said lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now that, you see, there's the spiritual aspect. As men turn more and more to love pleasures, the less and the less they'll love God. And of course, now that's the danger that's foretold here. Well, they would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, you know, and I know today, this one thing, if we'd stop and examine it and evaluate it in the light of the Scripture, one thing God really desires from man, and that we would love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our strength, that our whole object would be to love the Lord. I mean, what am I here for but to love the Lord? I do love the Lord. I love Him so very much, I give my life to Him. I love Him so very much, I've laid down my life for Him. Well, I love Him that much. I put Him first in my life. I mean, Jesus has first place in my life. I love the Lord. Well, today we realize that's the kind of a love that God would want us to have. Yet it's foretold here at the end of the age how men would become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I mean, Sunday's a pleasure day in America today. It's not a day of worship and drawing apart unto God. Well, it's that way, and we were forewarned in the Word of God to expect it would be that way. Well, that's foretold so that you and I could really see it as it emerged and know what to do about it. Now, being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, that's bound to lead to trouble, isn't it? I mean, when we let up on loving God and turn on loving pleasures, what's the end product? Well, verse 5 said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, then the answer surely is clear here. The condition that men allow themselves to get in, loving their own selves, and without natural affections, despisers of those that are good, the man who will really live for the Lord will be despised, and surely is today. You go all out for God and live for God, you're branded everything, you're a fanatic, you're a this, you're a that. Well, there's a despising them that are good, but the bottom line says it right out here, having a form of godliness. Now, still going to some kind of church? Still having some kind of form that you'd follow and say, well, I'm serving God. And yet, really, when you get down to the crux of it, denying the whole power of the gospel to change lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And, well, I mean, that's what we've got to look at and say, surely the end of the age. Well, that's what men will turn away from, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Not a new creature. Oh, no. Just a sinner kind of reformed now. My, not going along in the newness of life, but walking surely in just a sham, a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Well, remember, the Lord warned us of this, and his answer was, from such, turn away. Father, you quicken that word today into our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message, the Lord warning us in the Word, through the Word, that we should be looking that surely there's going to be a great falling away here at the end of the age. There's an apostasy that's creeping upon us, that surely it's going to cause a multitude to reject Jesus and deny the blood of Christ. And we've been looking into here this our third week now, looking into what really causes this, what's really bringing this about. It's going to lead men into such a state of lukewarmness that Jesus would spit them right out of his mouth. Well, today, let's go on here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And today we're going to be taking up again with verse 5. But may I exhort you again that this is an hour that you should be praying for revival. Are you praying? Are you involved in a prayer meeting in this last day for God to move and bring a real Holy Ghost revival throughout the church like we really need in this last day? Well, we were cautioned in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, we're talking both about the apostate and that apostate leader, and this is what the apostasy is all about here in the last days. Well, yesterday we looked into men being lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and being in a position where having a form of godliness, they would deny the power thereof, and we were warned to turn away from such. Well, having that form of godliness, we can see now what type of man, what type of leader is going to emerge. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Well, now we're talking about lustful leaders. They just creep into houses and, well, the things that would go on. Well, it's foretold here in the Word that these leaders now having this form of godliness but denying the power thereof, the very next verse gives us an example of denying the power, living after the flesh, walking in the lusts of the flesh. I mean, that's going to be the order of the day. These are they which separate themselves sensuously, not having the Spirit. Well, God warns us now of this kind of leader being the kind now that would come along and lead this last day falling away. Well, it's foretold in the Word, and you're not just taking Brother Daly's word for it. Surely, this is what God said would happen. Now, verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, a kind of leadership where men would be ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Well, think about that. Now, I heard a man testify with his own mouth that he had gone to 7 or 8 different schools of divinity and graduated and still was not saved. Well, you could look and say he had gone through that very state, ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of truth. But then one day God got through all of that theology and had led that man to Christ, and he finally got saved. Well, we realize that in the last days here, we can expect now men are going to come along now. Sure, apostate leaders and teachers were forewarned of them. They'd ever be learning, and surely if they're ever learning, they'll ever be teaching. Yet the multitude even that hear them will never be able to come to the knowledge of truth, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Well, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, the type of men, Paul describes them then. Surely they're going to be as Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses. Now, men who stand to withstand godly leaders and to withstand the truth, so do these also resist the truth. Now, this last day apostate teacher that's emerging in this great sweeping move that's coming is going to follow this very order. They're going to resist the truth. They're going to resist the Word. I've been saying this and saying this to you in this series of messages, how the Word is said now, what they would do. They'd be in the position where they'd have no love for the truth. They wouldn't believe the truth. And here it says, these also resist the truth. They're not interested in the truth. If they get interested in the truth, surely it's going to deal with them about their fleshly walk, their fleshly way, their sinful, lustful way, their love of pleasures, their love, surely, of the things of the world. All of this would be against what they're advocating and what they would want to lead you to. Now, I'm forewarning you of the teacher that's emerging. And this, certainly, we're going to see. And when it comes, surely it's going to come with a bang. It's going to be a sweeping move, and everybody's going to feel you got to get in this one. After all, in this one, you can do anything you want to. Today, let's realize these are men that resist the truth, and we're going to see a lot of teachers come along now resisting the truth. It said, men of corrupt minds. Now, you see, you put all this together. Now, God said these last day leaders would be men with corrupt minds. Their minds are evil. Their minds are carnal. Their minds are fleshy. And therefore, their teaching is going to come after that order. Carnal, surely, right down the line. And so we couldn't expect we're going to hear great spiritual truth. We couldn't expect it's going to be a pleasure binge. My, it's going to be, you know, the realm here where everybody's going to look to see just what they can get for themselves. Well, it'll turn out to be a great prosperity move, having everything you can get your hands on. But today, let's remember, God said these would be men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, they won't know nor understand the faith. They won't understand God's way. They just won't understand God's move. They just won't understand the truth. And no matter how much drilling you would do, they wouldn't receive the truth. Now today, I think we all got to be very careful in our own concept now of the end of the age. Now Jesus made some statements, and I brought these out to you prior, telling you about the vision the Lord showed me standing there on the seashore and seeing that calm sea. And yet those that got in it were just sucked away with the undertow in that treacherous water that looked so innocent. And how he described it, Satan was about now to do the most subtle work that he had done since the time of the garden. My, we've got to stop and realize now there's a subtle work. It's beginning. It's 3 years now in the making. It was 3 years ago that I saw that vision. Well, today, let us understand we've got to expect that this sort of thing is coming, and the Lord is forewarning us about this falling away, about this lukewarmness. And as he illustrated in his own words in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18, when he said, well, when I come, will I find faith upon the earth? In verse 8, we realize now that this is the order of the day. Men going to come now and emerge. It's going to fulfill these words of Jesus, these words of Paul, and these words of Peter and Jude and John. I mean, it's going to come to fulfill the message of this last day falling away. Well, it's one of those things we've got to look into and see for ourselves that God has forewarned us of it. And let's not be of the ostrich family. Let's not go down on the beach and, you know, dig a hole and, you know, put our eggs in there and cover our head with sand and say, well, I don't care what happens. I do care what happens. I care what happens because I know from all that the Lord has showed me, this rejection is coming. This falling away it's emerging. We're coming into that period of time, and I'm forewarning you of that. I'm telling you that's what the Lord is saying, and I want you to get that into your mind that we're being led into that period of time right now. We're just entering into it, and there's going to come a great apostasy. It's foretold in the Word of God. It's foretold surely to me. God spoke to me and giving me the vision, speaking to me about the rejection, speaking to me concerning these things and these events. Well, he wants us all to be aware of it. So he lets us to know. Well, we're going to have to really come right up to it and say it like it is. The Word has forewarned us. And that's a far greater authority than I am. That's a far greater authority than anything else in this last day. God, who knew the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, forewarned us in the words of the apostles that this time would come, and you and I are to be in expectation that it would come, it will come, and because God said it'll come, you can rest assured it'll come. It's going to come, not because I said so, but it's going to become because it's foretold in the Holy Scriptures, and these Scriptures cannot be broken. Well, today, I want you to give ear, and I want you to open wide your heart and mind, and I want you to pray for revival. Pray without ceasing in this day for a revival. Father, quicken the Word into our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message, God's warning to us about this great apostasy, this falling away in this last day, this rejection of Jesus, this falling away into lukewarmness that a multitude will find itself in here at the end of the age. Well, today we're going on, and we're going to continue to look at Paul's description of these apostate Christians, these apostate leaders, as it's recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4. Today, we're going to go on to verse 12, and let's really take some time and consider what Paul is really saying to us. Before I begin, though, I would exhort you again today in the name of Christ that you really pray. Let's pray for the body of Christ, which really needs a revival in this last day, a genuine revival, moving of God, of the Holy Spirit, that would awaken a multitude, that would keep us from going into this lukewarm period, this apostate age that God foretold us would appear at the end of the age. Well, today, pray. Pray, it will make a difference. Verse 12 in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, wonder why the apostle said that. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's going to become very pronounced here in the last days. As these apostate teachers emerge in the world here and begin to get, you know, great gain and great influence, certainly the Scripture said they'd have a form of godliness and they'd deny the power thereof, that they'd be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, you just begin to consider in your heart someone now that will live for God, and the group in the last day that will remain true to Jesus. The group in the last day, the body of Christ that will stand and be firm and stick to the Scriptures and not deny the Lord. Surely, all that live godly in this last day is going to suffer persecution. You're going to be the minority while the majority drifts away into lukewarmness. While the majority falls away after this kind of teacher, my, those that live godly are going to face it. And surely Paul talked about persecution. He said this, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now you see, right here as he writes to us about the apostasy, as he writes to us about the last day falling away, surely we can see it here now. He put it right in here for us to understand. It's going to cause great persecution on those that will live godly, who will dare to stand and to really preach the truth. And Paul said, well, look what happened to me. And in the midst of this falling away, there's going to be a lot of persecution suffered by those that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Well, it's true today. It's been true in every generation. The group that would live for Christ, that would take the gospel serious, would really live by the Word of God, really take the commandments of God serious, live a Christian life and separate themselves from the world and the things of the world, and really be the new creature and follow after the spiritual things rather than the carnal, has always been the oddball, always been persecuted, looked down upon, called fanatics, called holy rollers, called this, called that, because they purposed in their own hearts to love and to serve the Lord. Well, today, let us all consider now how important it is for us to stand in this last day. Now, here's what he said is going to happen in verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, that's the climax of the age. Evil men are going to get worse and worse. Apostate teachers will just come more and more, and worse as far as God is concerned. Now, seducers, spoken of here, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we see a generation now of apostate Christians coming, and apostate leaders waxing worse and worse. And this is what it's going to degenerate into here at the end of the age. Now, what are we supposed to do? Are we to look at these scriptures and say, oh, well, that don't affect us. Oh, well, let's bury our head in the sand. Let's ignore it. Let's not pay any mind to it. Or are we going to be that alert Christian who looks at the Word and says, look, this is what God said, and I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to be like David of old when he said this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to get the Word of God, get it down in my heart, get the Word of God rooted and grounded down in my heart. Well, we've got to understand then that from the Word and from the Scriptures, we're forewarned that these evil men would get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is going to just gather itself into the worst form of apostasy that we can think of. My, it will make it look like nothing when we look at the apostasy that brought the flood upon the world in the days of Noah. What an apostasy! And it's so similar to what we're seeing today. Yes, it's so very similar. A marriage of the godly and the ungodly, brought together, homogenized into one, and brought the way of God down to a mere sham, causing God to overflow the world with a flood. The Bible said the earth was filled with violence in that day. What's it filled with today? Well, apostasy emerging, getting now to really begin to take a hold in the world, and it's going to gain great momentum, and it's going to become a super move. Surely, it's here, it's on the make, it's forming, it's coming, and we see this now, and we better be ready. Well, there's certain things that are spoken to us in the Word to prepare us for this. So we know now that evil men and seducers are going to come. Now, let's go back and look at their character just a little more, back at verse 2 here in 2 Timothy 3. Now, these men are going to be lovers of their own self. We stress that point strongly. Now, they're going to be covetous. Now, to be covetous, you know, you never have enough. Want everything. And, you know, a covetous generation, a group now that's going to just go all out on a, not only a pleasure binge, but on a prosperity binge. Oh my, everything, everything, everything. And we'll find that teaching will certainly come greatly, and I'm going to bring you some illustrations of this as we continue on looking at what these apostate teachers are really like. Now, they're going to be boasters. Wow, they'll stand up and boast, but have nothing to boast of. Now, while they're boasting, they're going to boast of their form of godliness, but in reality, they're going to deny the power thereof, only having a form. Now, they're going to boast themselves of their great pleasures, which they now enjoy, and will even no doubt say they enjoy in the Lord, but they're going to love those pleasures more than they love God. Well, it's what's illustrated. Now, they're going to claim they've really got the goods, but they're going to be despisers of those that are good in verse 3. Now, they're going to be blasphemers, proud. I mean, these teachers that will emerge will be proud, prating themselves. They're the authority. and why you don't listen to us, that's going to be it. I mean, you're just going to be persecuted if you don't listen to us. And there's going to be a proud generation, blasphemers. My, for a group to emerge that's going to deny the blood and sacrifice Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus as an atonement for sin. Brother and sister, that's blasphemy. They're going to be blasphemers, disobedient to parents. They're not going to follow the way that was set before them. They won't follow the godly manner of life that maybe mom and dad lived. And on back to grandparents, surely they're not going to follow that way. They're going to be disobedient. They're going to be unthankful. Unthankful. Have everything, want everything, and at the same time be unthankful for it. Unholy. Now, I mean, those are very descriptive words. Unholy. An unholy generation. Well, this is what is emerging. This is what he's talked about. Now, we talked somewhat about natural affections. They would be without natural affections. Truth breakers couldn't keep their word, won't keep their word. No matter what they say, they wouldn't keep their word. False accusers, my, be right down the line. They'll do anything. Looks like the generation of the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus met while he was here upon the earth. False accusers, incontinent. Fierce, that doesn't sound like godly men. Well, it doesn't sound like a godly generation, and believe me, it's not. Well, my time is up here today. Father, quicken the word, make it real and alive in our hearts, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message dealing with the falling away here at the end of the age, foretold by the Apostle Paul. This falling away foretold by John the Apostle. There'd be a falling away into such a state of lukewarmness. Well, today, we want to continue on as Paul describes what this apostasy would be like. What apostate believers and teachers would be like at the end of the age. And as we get into the Word today, we want to go right back where we left off yesterday. And I want to commence again today with verse 12 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Also today, I want to exhort you again in the name of the Lord that you should pray for revival. We should seek God for a real stirring revival. Are you praying? Is there a real prayer meeting going on around about your life? Well, you know whether you're praying or not, and I believe you should, and I exhort you to in the name of the Lord. Well, it says here in this second epistle to Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, as Paul foretells what it would be like here, and he says now, those that will live right and live for God and go by the way of God will greatly suffer persecution. Now, he wanted to go on and exhort Timothy, who certainly, being a preacher, would exhort others, that there'd be a rightful stand here at the end of the age, that he'd really know how to respond and what to do. And, well, they believed they were at the end of the age then. They didn't know how long the church age would be or before their words would really fully be manifest or fulfilled. But this one thing was really brought to light here, and I think we need to elaborate on it for our own good. He said in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, I think that's an anchor, if we might say, where we're able to anchor our soul. Now, look, this one thing I don't want to happen to me. I don't want to find out when the time of the rapture comes that I've been spit right out of his mouth. I don't want to come to that end, do you? I'll tell you what I want. I want to be translated. I want to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I want to continue to watch and pray and believe to the saving of my soul. And I don't want to let some crowd of evil men and seducers come along and water down my mind and my heart and my faith in Jesus until I become so stagnated and lukewarm and fleshy carnal by it that I'll miss Jesus at his coming? Well, what is the answer? Are you saved today? Do you know the way of the Lord today? Well, he said, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, Timothy, I want you to remember what I taught you. I want you to remember, you know, that which you've learned of me, that which I have really taken time to personally teach you, to get you rooted and grounded and founded and established, saved and ready to go on to lead others to be saved. Well, he's warning him now that he should really continue in those things. Now, why would he add that right in here? Well, whenever there's a changing time, whenever there's a sweeping move of anything, there's a tendency to abandon what you have, to leave what you've stood and built your life upon, to go get in that move, no matter good or bad. And you just turn aside from all that you'd previously been taught. Well, that's the warning given here. Continue in that which thou hast learned and been assured of. Now, today you've learned it and you have assurance of it. Now, don't let nobody twist your head. That's what last day teachers are going to do to many. Twist their head, twist their thinking, turn them away from that which they had been brought up with. Now, I don't know about you, I was brought up believing this, that Jesus Christ died on that cross for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ actually took my place in death and died for me, and that my dying is over right there. That if he died for me, then I'm dead, dead to sin. Now I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And I believe that his blood was shed to wash my sins away. I believe that when I get over to heaven, I'm going to stand before the very throne of God on the merits of what Jesus did for me, on the merits of what he accomplished through his own shed blood, bringing me, through faith, the forgiveness of sins, and being born of his Spirit, I receive life, life everlasting from him. Now, I've anchored my soul here on Jesus. Now, what am I supposed to do as these apostate teachers emerge in the last day trying to peddle a form of godliness and deny the power as they come along denying the Lord that bought them? What am I to do? Switch my religion or switch my faith? Abandon that which really brought salvation to my soul and brought me into the fullness of God and the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, what am I to do? Throw this all out the window and get on this new bandwagon that's emerging? Oh, that's what is warned about here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You see, Paul didn't want Timothy to make such a change. Now, he knew that such people would come along. In his writings to the Galatians, didn't Paul stop and really warn them because there were those who came into the to the churches among the Galatians and told them they couldn't be saved unless they were circumcised and kept all the law of Moses. And, boy, they peddled a load of baloney on those Christians. And the worst part of it was they began to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And Paul dealt with them. Well, I mean, how did you get saved? And how did you receive the Holy Ghost? And how did they work miracles among you? And so on and so on. And wasn't it not a work of faith? Wasn't it a matter of believing? You got saved by believing. You got filled with the Spirit by believing. You saw signs and wonders and miracles. You saw healing and deliverance. But it was all work by faith. And, well, he exhorted them, surely, I mean, warned them of receiving another gospel which they had not received. And, well, saying to them, now you start down this road of following the law, and, well, you're going to wind up now being a debtor to do the whole law. Well, you see, they had slipped away from the truth. They had slipped away from what Paul taught them. He exhorted them, vigorously exhorted them, to get back to the soundness which was delivered unto them. And here now he's warning Timothy the preacher. Don't get caught away in this last day lukewarmness. Don't get caught away in that which sounds so easy, so simple, so philosophical that, my, it's just a thing you got to get into. And in order to get into it, you're going to have to scrap, throw away, do away with your faith. Do away. These men are going to be reprobate concerning the faith, and they're going to have you scrap your faith. Your faith won't mean nothing anymore. My lands, the farther we go into this period of time, and the more we see this lukewarmness, this falling away come, my, the more we'll realize how multitudes are going to abandon what they know to be the gospel and take up with this lukewarm move that's going to be spit right out of the Lord's mouth. Well, I forewarn you then, by the word of God, that you continue in the things which you've learned, the things which have already been given to you, already been brought into your life, that's brought you salvation, brought you the Holy Spirit into your life, brought you the power and blessing of God, really brought you into a state where inside you have an assurance. Now you know you're saved. You believe you're saved. You believe in the coming of Jesus. You believe that you're going to meet him at his coming. Now you believe, and you've been taught to believe and to stand by faith and wait for the hope of the gospel, which is for us to be received up in him unto everlasting life. Now we must be aware that we're not turned away by cunningly devised fables, which will corrupt our godly minds and cause us then to take up with something and simply throw in a pile and discard all that God has taught us through the Word. Now I base my faith on the words of the apostles. I base my faith on the words of Jesus that are recorded. I believe what these men said. I base my faith upon their teaching. I'm not going to abandon the Bible to take up with some last-day apostate message. Ma, I'm going to stand on the Scripture. It's written, brother and sister. It's written in the Word. And we've got to learn to stand on what God said. And if there's any one thing we need to stand on what God said. Now, tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to look just a little bit farther into this, of what we can do and what we can expect to come, and how we've got to make our stand on the Word of God if we're going to stand in this last day. Now, it's important, and I want you to know it's very important to you and the saving of your soul, and that you be carried not away in the falling away that's foretold and is emerging in the world today. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts, and I pray that you would give us understanding, and I pray for the listeners today that they will hear the Word and search the Scripture and know this truth for themselves. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And we're going to continue on in our broadcast today with this message dealing here with this falling away at the end of the age, foretold by the apostles. Surely a time which is really at hand, an era that we're entering into and we should be fully prepared for. Well, today I'm going to go on with the message from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4, as the Apostle Paul describes what this age would be like, what it would be like here at the end of the age, and his warnings to us of what men would do and how evil men and seducers would really wax worse and worse. Well, are you praying for revival? Is there a prayer meeting in your life praying for revival? Are you really involved in sincerely seeking God for revival? Now, this is something that we all have to consider. It's something you have to consider, and we should really pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. It will make a difference. Now, today, I'm going on right where we left off yesterday. Remember yesterday, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Well, we talked yesterday about scrapping what we have in our faith to turn now and jump on the bandwagon of an apostate generation emerging here before our eyes. Well, here's that exhortation. Now, you continue in the things which you've heard. Don't lay down what I've given you, what I've taught you. That's not going to help you a bit. Now, let's look at what God tells us to hang on to in the last days. Verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, that's what we've got to hang on to. Now, his exhortation to both Timothy and to you and I is that we've known the Scripture, we've had the Scripture's been given to us, and many of us could say just exactly what Paul is stating here. You've known the Holy Scriptures from a child. Well, I've been in the Scriptures for 30 years. How long have you been in the Word? Well, he's saying now it's this Word, the Holy Scriptures, which makes thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, right here we are. We've got the thing. We don't need this last day lukewarm modern move that's emerging now to really show us the way of salvation. It's going to lead men from. It's going to have the form of godliness. It's going to deny the power thereof. It's going to bring men to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And, well, the Holy Scriptures, that's what will make you wise unto salvation. And so he's exhorted. Now, you've had this. It's like God said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. Well, we build a foundation in the hearts and in the minds of our children so that as they grow up, well, they'll have in them the thing they need when they get older. And they'll have in them the Word of God that'll help form the values they need for life. And certainly have in them the Scripture which will make them wise unto salvation. And they may stray a little in their growing up, but the Word is there. The foundation is nevertheless there, because it was there because Mother and Dad got them into Sunday school where they'd be taught, got them into church where they'd hear the Word, and taught them up with spiritual discipline in the home and surely in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And we say, well, now a foundation is laid in a child's life, so when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Well, God has laid a foundation in our lives. We've heard the Word of God. We've heard the Holy Scriptures. They have instilled in us what it takes to be wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And now along comes this apostate move in the last days into a lukewarmness, into a lukewarm way. And what are we going to do? We're going to throw this away and jump on that bandwagon of those that deny Jesus, of those that deny the blood of Christ, I mean, are we going to get on the bandwagon of those that forsake the common salvation to get into that lukewarm way that the Lord says, I'll spit you out of my mouth for getting into? What are we going to do? We're going to stick with the Scriptures. That's what we're going to do. And if we're going to be ready when Jesus comes, it's going to be because we heard the Word of God. We heard the words of the apostles and elders that were before us here in the Scriptures, and we build our faith on the Word of God, and we're going to stand and keep our soul anchored in the Word. This, nothing's to move us away from. Now, just because there's a great, great move coming that's going to affect the multitudes, and many are going to be moved right off the rock, right into the swamp. I mean, just because that happens doesn't mean now that it should happen to you. Now, you got to stand on the Scripture. He said this, and this is a beautiful verse of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Boy, there's a beautiful text, isn't it? Now, that's the third chapter of 2 Timothy, and that's verse 16 and 17. Oh, my. All Scripture's given by inspiration of God. This Bible of ours was written certainly by holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we can put our faith in them and in confidence in their words because they spake by the Holy Ghost unto us. They foretold what would take place here at the end of the age. And we're supposed to believe them, take those words to heart. Now, their words are the Scriptures. Their words are inspired. Their words are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, are we going to throw Peter and Paul away? Are we going to drop James and John out of the picture? And are we going to say, well, our last-day modern lukewarm apostate teachers are better than they, and it's better to give ear to them than to the Bible, to the inspired Word? You see, we've got to anchor our soul in the Word of God. We've got to anchor our soul in the Scriptures. And those men and women that will anchor in the Word and believe the Scripture, and let the Scripture now be unto them for doctrine. Let the Scriptures be for reproof and correction and instructions in righteousness. Let's not go along with a bandwagon, you know, with all its pomp and ceremony and coming along here with an apostate generation emerging. I mean, we've got to get a hold now and stand with God, and we need to pray for revival. Look, what I'm telling you may sound a little far-fetched to you. It may sound like a fairy tale. Brother Daly, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about an apostasy, a coming lukewarmness, a coming falling away. It's emerging. It's beginning. It's happening. And it's going to gain great momentum in the world. I'm foretelling that. I'm warning you of that. I'm showing you that. I'm revealing it both by the Word and by revelation to you, that you would anchor your soul in Jesus. You would anchor your soul in the Word of God. And you would stand and not be swept off your feet and carried away by this lukewarmness that the Lord Himself warned us would be at the end of the age, and that He Himself would spit the multitude out of His mouth because of their lukewarmness. Well, today we ought to give ear now. And also, there's the blessing here about the instruction in righteousness for the man of God. There is an instruction in righteousness for the man of God. Yet Paul warned us now that the last day teachers here, they'd be teaching a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You see, their teaching would, yes, bring out a form of godliness, but at the very same time, they'd be denying the power of a changed, converted life, of being a new creature in Christ Jesus. They'd be denying the godly life. Well, the man of God is to be instructed in righteousness out of the Word of God, that the man of God may be perfect. Oh, Brother Daly, don't say that. That the man of God may be perfect. Read verse 17 very carefully yourself. The Word of God teaches a man to walk in righteousness and to be perfect before God. If we'll walk in righteousness and follow the teaching of the Scripture and let the Scripture become our doctrine and manner of life, brother and sister, then we'll walk before God as a man perfect. Perfect not in men's eyes, perfect in God's eyes. After all, it's God that measures us up. Look, it's God's going to fit you with a new body and with a new robe to wear, certainly. It's God's going to measure you up for that heavenly garment of righteousness which fades not away. And let us realize we better be measured up by the Word, not by the change and the trend from one generation to the next. And let's not be carried away in the lukewarmness that is before us in the world today. Now we, the man of God now, being thoroughly furnished here unto all good works, because we have the foundation of the Scripture, we have the foundation of the Word of God. This Word has made us wise unto salvation. This Word has taught us to be soul winners. This Word has taught us that we should propagate the gospel to every soul, that we should preach to every creature, that we should not only preach, but those that believe and would be baptized would be saved. My, we've got a great commission. We've got a great job to do. And we've got to be careful lest we be carried away with all of the lukewarmness that's about to really emerge on the church world today. Father, quicken this Word into our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' wonderful name, amen.